Welcome to Insomniacs.
We're your hosts, Myra
and Jenny.
Hey, Myra, how's it going?
You know, I'm exhausted. How's it going with you?
Oh my gosh, so tired. So I had a speaking engagement on Tuesday night. I was part of a panel speaking to the South Carolina Association of CPAs.
I remember you telling me about this.
Yeah.
Because why would you go to South Carolina?
I mean, but it was only an hour and a half or so away, and they promised food, and I like to give back.
Was the food good?
The food was good.
Okay, that's fine then.
And I like to give back, but I should have been suspicious when the location was listed as spare time. And I thought,
what?
That can't be a bowling alley.
Oh my God, is it a bowling alley?
It's 100% a bowling alley.
Hell yeah.
So the problem with that for me is, with hearing aids, really hard to hear in that type of an environment.
Yeah.
So they turned the music off. We had a private room, but the private room did have like 8 lanes of bowling in it. So, but a private room, and nobody was bowling during the panel discussion or anything like that.
Well, that was polite.
But the lights were fluorescent combined with neon lighting.
Ooh.
Heavy music and bowling. And so I'm on day 3 of a headache now. Like I am, as we record this, if I look at the screen too long, I will be ill. It is just super rough right now. It's terrible. So I'm not feeling great, but I really love getting the chance to talk to students who are considering a CPA or an accounting degree because, like, as an example, one of the first questions is, why did you go into the profession? And you already know my answer. Money. I went into the profession for money.
That's why I went into the profession and weekends off. That's why I won't work for one of the big 4.
And there's all kinds of reasons to go into a profession. I have no idea
big
how many
5.
Big ones there are anymore. There were 6 the last time I was caring about it, but now there's at least down to 4. But in any case, it's wild because most other people are like, I like math or I like helping people, which is, I'm sure, 100% true. But I think the money, it's worth saying it's okay. You don't have to, but it's okay to consider a profession for financial security.
I like the money.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I also, honestly, just like Excel because it's nice. It's fun.
I like the job I do. I really love that I found an accounting career where I can impact people policy as well because I think people, as a rule, are treated so badly by companies.
Yes.
One of the things I want to do is try and systematically fix that within organizations. So it's nice to be able to have that piece of influence. But I had to decide on a degree when I went back to work, and it felt like accounting would be safe. So I've been really excited by it.
I want to keep my house.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do. What have you been up to?
Sorry, I'm checking out my notes because we definitely made these show notes like, I don't know, a month ago, 2 weeks ago. these are older show notes, and then we just didn't record the episode. So now I'm like looking back to see what it said. And apparently what I was really excited about.
It's a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, man. Apparently I was very excited about this new pattern organization system that I'm doing, which I do actually stand by being genius. It's
okay, are you still doing it?
Oh, I am still doing it. And it brings me great joy. So my friend Darcy, who I love and adore, let me borrow her Sprocket printer, which is one of those fun little printers that can print things from your phone via Bluetooth. And then it's a sticker. And so I made collages of all of my patterns. So it would print out a little sticker that has 4 patterns on it, and then I cut them all out, and then I stuck them on all of my plastic legal sorting envelope thingies. I'm going to post pictures of these on the Patreon.
Okay.
I stuck them on there, but I also made a sheet that has like a grid, and it has pictures of all of my tops and all of my skirts and all of my like dresses and all of my things that aren't those 3 categories. And then it has all of the yardage for them and the like notes about them. So I can like open my pretty little binder and I have color coded tabs that match the binder and pictures of all of my items.
I am looking forward to seeing images.
It's like Cher's closet in, what was that movie?
Clueless?
Yeah, that one. It was like Cher's closet in Clueless, except physical and not digital.
I've never seen that movie.
I have seen that movie so many times, and I lived with you for a lot of those years, so I have to assume you've seen that movie.
No, absolutely not.
Did you know Ever After is on Disney Plus? Because
no, I
just watched it and remembered how great that movie is.
Oh, Dad's going to be mad that I know that now.
So it's because, okay, we're going to just go off the rails for a hot second. It's because, in case you, hi. There's a very loud cat.
Cat's gone.
So, for those of you who don't live on Earth, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour concert is now on Disney Plus, which obviously meant that Natalie and I had a party. Oh, it's on Disney Plus. Natalie and I had a sleepover slumber party to celebrate this. And when they did it, the person at Disney Plus who does their marketing of some kind needs a raise, because what they did is they made, you know how they have like the Disney, the recommendations, like if you like this, check out this, or like here are movies that you might like. Instead of that, they had Red, Disney's version, 1989, Disney's version. And it was all movies that came out in 1989.
Oh, wow.
And then it was like all movies with a red background. And then it was like in the Evermore era was Ever After and Tuck Everlasting, which I forgot about and I'm going to rewatch soon. This was a very long diatribe on this, but like, listen, it's great. 10 stars. She's now making notes while I'm talking. She's not even listening to me.
I am 100% listening to you. I am excited to get to hear the Eras Tour or watch it on Disney Plus.
Oh, you want to, yes.
And I'm fascinated by the idea of movies that match each of the eras.
They unfortunately are now gone. I mean, the things that were there are still there, okay. But like they're no longer
they're
sorted
no longer
that way.
Sorted that
but
way.
I did take a picture because it was actually, it was pretty genius. It was pretty solid. They did a great job.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, I can appreciate that. For me, pretty much all I'm doing is the same thing I've been doing every week. I've sewn another skirt.
Wow.
So I am slowly but carefully, you know, hand stitching, hand finishing, just a skirt every other week or so. So it's not what I'd call a really prompt way of doing it, but
living a wild life.
I know. I've got 4 pattern tests coming up, 3 of which are compensated, which I love because pattern testing should always be compensated. That way it's available to people with different income levels and things like that. So I think it's important that testing be compensated. But my one test that I'm doing right now, I've just cut out a pair of pants to test for a boutique brand that I love that has never carried my size. And they started recently putting out some patterns for some of their boutique styles. And when they did that, I just commented and said, man, I am so sad that I am 10 inches away from your sizing. I would love to be able to make these for myself since you don't make them. And they reached back out a couple months ago and said, we're trying to expand our sizing. When I have this pattern ready, would you want to test it? And I said, of course I would. I would love to help make that possible, both for your customers who buy ready to wear and for your customers who might buy patterns. So that pattern test showed up in my inbox about a week ago. I sent it to my favorite pattern printing company, The Plotted Pattern, and got back my AO pattern sized sheets a couple days ago. And today I cut them out of a one of those, I think they call them thread woven, but I'm not sure because all wovens are woven, right? But it's where one color is one direction and another color is the other. So your warp might be black. And in this case, it's like warp is black, weft is brown or something.
Sure, yeah.
And so I can't remember what that's
called. I know what you're talking about because I've definitely seen this.
Yeah, and I'm blanking on the name for some reason. Y'all post it when I put this episode up. But I just cut that out and I'm ready to go on it. And I'm super duper excited, even though I know just from eyeballing it and doing some measurement that for me and my body shape, the undercarriage on the pants probably isn't as deep as I need it to be. I'm going to make it exactly as designed because it's really easy to make a deeper crotch seam if you need to afterwards. But I'm excited by this, and I think it'd be neat if it results in their being able to sell a wider range of their garments on their website.
Cool beans.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad about it. Now, sewing news. The bummer for me is I got nothing. Did you come up with something?
Oh, this was the week. Remember, I went and I really researched stuff.
Oh,
I was
so
like
did.
Into it. Now, the sad news is the next 2 episodes, I have nothing. But this week, I do have something. I found this cool thing that's called, it's like an electroluminescent tape called vinyl, V-Y-N-E-L. And basically, you can sew it directly into garments, but you can also attach it to like heat-formed thermoplastics to create different like lighted effects. And it looks like it's to some extent programmable, so you can also like create, instead of just being like blue or red or green, it could be like blue, red, green, or like in a pattern, like going in a wave or whatever. It looked really cool.
That is wild.
I want to make things. I want to make a dress from a book that I really like, where it has, she gets covered in glowy globs, and I want to.
So it's a fiction book.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Okay.
It's the ACOTAR series, for those who know. It's also known as fae smut. That's pretty much what we refer to it as. It's a fairy smut book, but it's delightful, and she goes to a ball, and then like green glowy globs fall on her, and it would be so cool to make a dress that has that. follow me for more fashion advice.
That is super wild. I appreciate that you clarified that it was, in fact, a nonfiction book, because when you said from a book, I thought, she's got a sewing book recommendation.
Oh, and absolutely not. No, I have a book recommendation. Yeah. I am an avid reader, for those of you who don't know. Follow me on Storygraph, because Goodreads is owned by Jeff Bezos. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know, too. I wasn't aware of it.
Goodreads is owned by Jeff Bezos, and Storygraph is not.
Yes, but you do, in fact, read on a Kindle.
Yes, we're not talking about that. Okay, I also read. I read on a Kindle, but I do get almost, I would say, 90% of my books from Hoopla / Libby at this point. So I'm just borrowing books from the library.
And honestly, the ones you get on Kindle are mostly free for you anyway.
Yeah, because I buy them and then you pay for them. Because we share a Kindle account. But then, see, here's the problem, though. If I want to read, like, true smut, I have to download it on my own personal phone because you don't need to know what I'm reading. But the fairy smut is, like, in disguise enough,
though,
you wouldn't know.
So there is smut.
Oh, I know. Sometimes I find the smut and I go, oh, God, this is my mother's smut. And then I make this face that I'm making right now, and I keep swiping. I don't need to see that.
I mean, I'm a human being just like you are. Or no. Maybe a little different, but whatever.
It's not cool.
Do we have a topic today?
We do, but can we sidebar for one more minute?
Sure.
I was reminded that I listened to this great episode of Life Kit recently that was talking to your children about sex, which, by the way, I don't feel like you ever really did with me thoroughly. anyways, the point is...
I let you read smutty...
I know, and I think that's a little bit why I'm gay, just to be honest. I one time read this book.
Okay, gay is not a choice.
Okay, that's true. But I read a book that told me that that was an option.
Well, good.
And I think it sent me down.
I'm glad that you were aware it was an option.
It was called Kissing the Witch. I don't know if you remember this book.
I do remember this book.
It's a great book. I have gone to go find it. I know, and I'm mad about it. Because I lent my copy to a friend and she didn't give it back.
Yeah, it's not in print and anyways. It's often very, very expensive on Amazon. Well, I've looked at it as a gift for you.
I love that book. My point was that I watched listened to this episode of Life Kit that was talking to your kids about sex. And one of the things in the episode was that you should talk to your kids about the sex, or not talk to them necessarily about it, but like the sex life you want your kids to have instead of what we often do, which is talk about all the things we don't want our kids to experience in their sex lives. But to like actively think about what do you want their sex life to look like?
Yeah.
Do you want it to be a wild, lovely, wonderful time, or do you want them to just not get hurt?
My parents sent me to Girl Scout camp to learn about sex.
Oh, that sounds terrible. No.
It was period oriented, but it was a Girl Scout camp to learn about sex. So that was...
No, thank you.
That was the path. And then the next time my mother talked to me about sex was when I told her I was pregnant as a teen, and she said, well, I hope you at least had fun. And that was the end of the sex talk.
You talk to me about it more. It's just that I also already knew stuff, so I don't think you felt like the impetus to like have a talk because I already knew stuff.
Yeah.
And I had that life-changing American Girl book that everyone owned in the 90s.
I don't remember that one.
You and me, my body and me. I don't remember. It was like American Girl body book that literally every millennial girl owned.
That sounds true. Yeah. We had our bodies ourselves or something like
that.
Yeah, sure.
There was a girl with like a towel wrapped around her. And yes.
That all sounds right.
Anyways, yes, we do have a topic tonight that's not this, but we somehow got here. So.
I mean, we're reliving intergenerational traumas addition to sewing.
Are you really just listening to this podcast to listen to sewing stuff? I don't think so. If you are, I'm really sorry because that was a whole long tangent.
But it's okay because we're only 13 and a half minutes into the podcast,
doing great.
So we're ready to do the topic.
Ah, perfect. So this week, I think our topic is all about fabric.
It really is, which is great because I think we both love fabric and both have terribly different views on fabric.
Oh, unfortunately we do.
I know, which is a shame because you get a lot of your fabric as hand-me-downs for me, and that means my bad choices in fabrics become your new problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they don't become my new problems. They become someone else's
and
problems.
That's okay, too. They're not my problems anymore. That's what matters. So what kinds of fabrics do you actually like to sew with?
I actually like to sew with cottons. I will occasionally... I put linens on here, but I want to clarify. I enjoy sewing with linens. I do not enjoy having garments made out of linen. I hate that.
Yeah.
I don't want things to be wrinkled. I get that that's like your cool vibe because you're like a cool mom, not like those other moms. But
that's
like,
right.
I hate it.
And on Wednesday, we were pink.
I don't like it. I have to iron it. And then I'm mad that I have to iron something at 6 a.m. Like, this is terrible.
Oh, okay. But, and this is not going to help you in any way, if you take it straight out of the dryer.
Oh, I don't ever do that.
And hang it up, then you don't have to iron it.
Also, my dryer is possibly dying, so it's just tumbling things on cold, which means it's like 18 cycles until it's dry. I want to die. It's fine. I need to fix my dryer. It's cool. Anyways, so I like sewing with cotton. And jersey knits, but like that kind that I think has rayon in it.
It's yeah, like the kind of slinky ones.
Yeah, but not the ones that are
not
like...
Not the artificial slinky.
Not that one. T-T-Y? P-T-Y?
I-T-Y.
I-T-Y, maybe. There we go. And then I also really like chiffon?
Nope, that's broken. You can't like chiffon. Nobody likes chiffon.
I do, though.
People
I just don't wanna...
accept that chiffon is a thing they'd like to wear, so they must sew with it. No one likes sewing with
I
it.
I do, though.
Not one person.
Because when you sew it with the foot that does the thing, I'm making a motion, guys. You're missing it.
Podcasting is inherently a visual medium, so
it's
okay.
It is. The fold-over one. The one that... Yeah. The rolled hem foot. That's what it is. Rolled hem foot. It's, like, so nice when you get the little line of stitches. I mean, then you get the little, like, sometimes strings, and then you curse violently at your sewing machine. But it's so pretty and satisfying when it's done.
I don't believe you.
Oh, and I really like working with a nice... stretch velvet, but I need, for my neuro spicy friends out here, you're gonna feel me right now. I need it to be the specific kind of velvet that doesn't give me the ick, because there are ones that give me the ick.
The inside of it
yes.
feels so icky.
But it means that I don't know, and I can't buy it sight unseen. I have to touch it to find out if I have the ick.
Swatching is gonna change your life. You can order swatches relatively inexpensively from most websites. So if you have something you're buying
but
anyway.
But then what if I get the swatch and then it's not right? Oh, wait. Oh, I see.
Then
your
you
plan.
Don't buy any more fabric. You just paid $1 for a swatch you didn't like.
Yeah, because I'm already. But the problem is I have to take the first dive to trust a fabric from the internet. And we're going to get into why I don't do that right now. But I think I want to.
I'm just saying, I think you need to.
I'm a baby.
I think you need to.
I think it's a baby.
It's worthwhile to get those swatches. And I've only just been sold on swatches. Instead, previously, what I did was buy lots of fabric and give half of it to you because when it came in,
I was like,
I don't like it anymore.
No, stop. I don't like this.
So I'm going to do swatches now, and that way you won't complain
as much about
the fabric.
Where's my fabric pipeline? Where's the direct to Myra fabric pipeline?
All you ever did was complain
about
it.
That's because you buy orange. Can you stop buying orange?
No.
Any color but orange.
I really like orange.
Orange is so bad on me. I'm already pink.
So for me, it's unfortunately for Myra, it's linen. Linen is my favorite to sew with and to wear. I really, really love a linen. But for the most part, I'm really just a woven gal. Anything that's woven is a possibility. And since I've started flatlining almost all of my garments, I'll even work with fabric I don't like. Like I detest rayon. I detest, honestly, most silks and things like that because I don't like how squishy they are to work with. But anything you flatline and hand stitch, you can do any fabric you want. It could probably practically be living. It's like there's nothing you couldn't do.
Wait, so are you flatlining it with like linen?
I'm usually flatlining with a high quality muslin, so like a Robert Kaufman muslin or something like that. I have flatlined with linen and with like cheapy quilting cottons, not like good ones, but cheapies. But those have all been washed and dried a couple times to make sure maximum, you know, shrinkage and stuff. If I'm not doing a woven, I'm probably doing a cotton lycra, and it's probably a relatively heavy weight. I like a firmer fabric in
like
my
a ponte.
Yeah, not quite as heavy as a ponte usually, but close. I'd go ponte before I'd go jersey. I'm just not a jersey person, so that's a thing I learned. What's your absolute favorite fabric?
Mine is definitely cotton, which I know is a boring answer, but I can't help it. I just like the way when you have like a nice, when it's like a nice cotton, and it has that like nice feel to it. Like I like the polished cottons are definitely like top tier for me because they're so pretty with that like soft sheen. And then when you like sew with them and you press them and they have like the nice crisp lines and like, I don't know.
All of that is true of linen.
Yes, but then I look at linen and it wrinkles. Whereas I look at my cotton and my cotton goes, I'm still pretty. Can I interest you in being pretty and easy to wear?
So for me, it's linen, obviously, is my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is because I do like the way it feels. I think it feels like a fancy kind of crisp, if that makes sense. And when I was growing up, linen was like aspirational. There was no way in my life I could afford to have linen in any way. There was no
path for it. People still like that coastal grandma vibe right now. So like,
yeah, and I'm a grandma who plans to be coastal, so it's going to work out beautifully. But yeah, I love myself some linen. I like linen cotton blends too, because I think you get the best of both worlds. There's a little bit less wrinkling, but it's still just that kind of musky wonderfulness that linen exudes. Like I really love linen. So linen is my firm answer to favorite fabric.
So you like linen?
I do. I don't know if I've ever shared that with you before.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite is when I was de-stashing recently and I was going through my stash and I was like, why the fuck do I have 5 different types of black linen that are not the same? None of them are the same.
They had different purposes.
I understand that, but why do I have 5 of them and none of them are enough for the project I want?
I'm so sorry.
Then I yelled at them and then I decided they could be somebody else's problem.
It seems to me that the biggest one. There's a reason why you had that.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's your least favorite fabric besides orange?
Crushed velvet. Because when you rub it the wrong way, it's like nails on a chalkboard and it gives me the ick and I want to die. I hate it. Also, it stretches wonky. Yeah. And there's just nothing good about it. It's literally, and it looks dated. I'm sorry to anybody who likes crushed velvet, but I just think that looks like you came from the 70s and I'm not here for it. I don't like it. It's always bad. I don't like it.
I feel like it came from the 80s, but
I don't like looking at it. Like everything about, because I also, then it's like your hair is matted in some places. Like, you know, when your hair is like super greasy, it looks like that, but on like fabric.
I don't know if you've noticed, my hair is like 1/3 of an inch long, so I don't really experience the super greasy problem you're talking about.
Well, fair, but listen, I don't like it. Crushed velvet.
Yeah,
and me,
I don't really love crushed velvet, but it would never even like be on a list of fabrics I would consider to be a fabric. For me, my least favorite is rayon, I think. And it's because, and if it's a twilled rayon, oh my God, you might as well just ball it up and throw it out. But I find rayon to be just really hard to get a good cut on. Even when I've got a large cutting table, when I had my 4-foot by 8-foot cutting table with the mat that covered the whole table, getting the rayon up there and having it hold in place long enough to get a good cut on it was really, really difficult.
It's not going
to
happen.
And now where I'm flatlining, it's a little bit easier because you're sewing the lining to the fabric before you cut the fabric. And you're also ironing it to make sure it's exactly the same size as the other. So it's better. And where your stitch lines are when you're basting them together is where you're going to sew your permanent line. So it doesn't matter whether the edges are perfectly matched because you're just going to sew along those stitch lines anyway. So it's a little better, but it's just a lot to try and work with rayon, in my opinion. It's generally not worth it to me. Overall, I buy more rayon than I'd like to, and you get all of it. Like, there's never a circumstance where I'm like, well, maybe I'll try this today. It always ends up as, no, I'm just going to put
maybe
it in Myra's box of
it.
Stuff,
yeah.
And she'll, you know, love it or hate it, and I'll be fine because I won't know.
That's true.
So it works out beautifully for me.
So what types of fabric do you gravitate towards?
Oranges. Oh, God. I pretty much, if it's a citrus color, so orange, green, or yellow,
Jesus Christ.
I'm probably pretty happy. I like bright colors, but I'm
more... like things that aren't...
Well, I get pinks too, and some blues and aquas and stuff, but
blue, purple, aqua.
But orange is always going to ding my bell.
Damn it.
I love orange.
Ugh.
However, when I'm shopping, what really appeals to me, if I'm in person, it's almost always texture. It'll be some piece that I can hold in my hand and I'm like, oh, this is going to be so great to have as a garment. It's either going to feel good on my body or I'm going to like the way that the texture looks as it moves over my body and things like that. So that's a big part of it. Anything that is kind of monotone and also cats, which is like a really specific genre of fabric.
No, that explains a lot though.
But it's often in quilting fabrics. You can find some monotone, like Tula Pink has some coming out soon that I'm just aching for the pre-orders to be available to me. I love a good kitty cat quilting fabric that I can make into a dress. But what I learned is there's a lot of them where it's like one color for the background and a contrasting color for the cat. And then maybe there's a 48th other set of colors. Like, it's very jumbled energy. And I like that on the bolt. I don't like it on my body. And so what I've learned is I like something that's more in the monocolor range. So green cats on a teal blue background with some blue hearts or whatever, like that, I'd very much be into. But as soon as you start throwing in pinks and yellows and browns and whatever onto that, I'll buy it, but I'm probably never going to make it into anything. So yeah, it would be better if I then didn't buy it.
That's true, yeah.
So
that's
how that works. Yeah, so basically orange, cats, brights, texture.
I did really like when you decided you didn't want the cat print that was like, I want to say it's like a bookshelf.
Yeah, the bookshelf cats.
Oh my God, they're so cute. And I have saved them. I've used them for pockets. I've used them for waistband linings. I'm making a dress out of it. But like, yeah. Oh, love it. So
cute. I made
cute.
Some cute
10
things
stars.
Out of it. Same idea. I have some waistband lining.
Yes,
so
they're just like, this is so
like
cute. I just
and
want to look at it.
Great, because they were monotone again.
Yes. There was
they
like
really were.
Purple, and I can't remember the other one you had.
I had a teal one. I might have had yellow.
I think pink maybe also.
Might have had pink.
I can't remember. I have a couple of them.
It was pretty awesome.
It's very cute.
How about you? How do you decide what you're going to look at when you're out shopping? Like,
oh,
what
God.
Do you gravitate towards?
I gravitate mostly towards, I'm a big texture person too, so I want to look at it and I want to touch it. It's part of why I struggle with online shopping, because I just want to touch it. Mm-hmm. And then I also really... comically, I do this with yarn too. I get made fun of on the yarn crawl doing this. Is that I gravitate towards blue, purple, and gray, usually in a storm cloudy sort of color, mm-hmm. which is often the color my hair is while shopping. And then
yeah.
there's a lot of comedy over how it matches my hair and that's what I want. I want just things that are blue, purple, and gray.
Yeah.
In some combo.
I think those are gorgeous, and I wear a lot of stuff. Right now I'm wearing a black dress that has pinks and blues.
And this is the kind of periwinkly,
you know,
sort of colors
yeah.
that I'm into. I love these
and
colors.
And I really love stuff like that. The other one I didn't mention is if it's astronomical, I'll
oh, yeah.
probably
that's
buy
also
it.
A problem for me. Anything
yeah.
astronomical, I'm like, ooh, I should buy that.
Yeah, which is really sad and annoying.
I don't have a plan.
But still true.
But I should buy it.
Okay, so... how do you decide what's worth plopping some actual cash down on?
So this is a harder one for me because I'm still in the learning process of this one. If I'm going to actually buy the fabric, what I have been trying to do is sort of make a mood board on Pinterest of like, what colors are in my closet? What am I actually fucking wearing? Because
yeah.
I will go, this is beautiful. And it will be some weird thing that sticks out like a like thumb that's like... this does not match anything you own. Why
yeah.
do you think that you're going to make a garment you're going to wear when it doesn't match anything you own? So that's been a good way to rein me back in. And then I'm also getting to a place where I want to spend my money on larger yardage of higher quality fabrics rather than smaller yardage of crappier fabrics and just buying less.
Yeah.
But like being more intentional in my fabric purchases, because my closet is now absolutely bursting with things that I've made. And that's great, but I want higher quality, nice, like, couture-level pieces instead of the sometimes shambly put-together
yeah.
things that I've got.
No, I totally understand that, because I've been going through something really similar for the last few years. Sort of 3 years ago, I made 350 items in 1 year. The next year, I made about 250. The year after that, I was aiming for something in the high hundreds or mid-high hundreds, and I ended at under 100 items in a year, which is really
insane.
Small amount for me, but is a really huge production value. And I know that this year we're 3 months into it. I think I've made 5 items. Like, I think you're more productive than I am right now.
I think I've made more than 5.
And that's okay. I feel okay about it. I feel comfortable with the level of output I've got, but it's got me really thinking about, and I've done like I did. Oh my God. You know, the big fabric clean out you and I did of my stuff
mm-hmm.
where we went through like 8 kit.
Yes.
8 large totes.
Are you back to that again?
Nope.
Good job.
I have a friend, Ashley, who is teaching sewing to students in a community that's for students who have a higher incidence of issues in school. And she asked, does anybody have anything for me? And I said, ooh, pick me. I went through all of my fabrics with an eye to, am I realistically going to make that this year? In 2024, is this going to rise to the level that it becomes a garment for me? And if the answer was no, it went into the boxes. And I
excellent
ended up
work.
With 2 counter high boxes that were about 2 foot by 2 foot. 2 of those filled with fabric. 1 IKEA bag, those big Fracta bags filled with fabric, and stuffed in anywhere I could, zippers, threads, sewing machine needles, bias tape,
good job,
piping, rickrack, all the elastic, anything I thought I wasn't going to use, I got it in there. Serger thread, so much of it. Her mother had donated, I think, 7 sewing machines so that everyone in the class would have their own sewing machine to use in the class and not have to wait. I tossed in good scissors. I had an extra pair of gingers. I tried to give not just of, like, the junky stuff, right? I was looking at it, like, there was some really great linens in there. There were some really amazing high-quality cottons in there, some great knits in there, and then high-quality scissors, high-quality needles, et cetera, just more than I could possibly use in a year. And so that was my theory on it. And I felt really great about it. I was so glad to be able to offer something back to a piece of the community that could really use it. And it means I actually only have 2 boxes of fabric right now.
Excellent work.
I know. It's wild. It's wild.
So proud.
Oh, my goodness. But for me, that and cleaning out my closet, which is down to about 40 pieces total of clothing, which is really, really small for me, is all about trying to figure out what I really use. Because I've had pieces in my closet that I've held on to for a couple of years because I really like them theoretically.
I have this problem.
But when I put them on my body, inevitably, before I leave the house, I take them and I put them away in the closet again. And so those items I've gotten rid of now. So for me, trying to figure out what that really means is hard. And I'm 55. I feel like I should know what my style is by now. And I don't really. I am taking time to discover that I actually like skirts if they fit well, which is a thing. I've never really cared for skirts because most of what I've been able to make for myself and not have look awkward is elastic waisted skirts. And I don't love them. They're okay. Like, I'm not mad at them, but they're not my jam. I've always wanted either a knee-length pencil skirt or one of those mid-calf denim skirts, that style of skirt. That's something I like as a style. And I've never found a pattern that I made work for it. I've bought a bunch of patterns and made them. I've even bought some kits and taken classes to do it. But in the end, the fit isn't what I want because I don't think anybody else ever thought to say, is your waistline really parallel to the floor or do you have a tilted waist? And I do have a significantly tilted waist. That's really helpful to know when you're fitting a garment. And so I've been really happy with it, but it means my whole closet is in a shambles right now in terms of what style looks like, because I'm still discovering what I might like, because I'm only just learning how to make things that fit me well enough to decide if I like them. Like, I made a cute little A-line skirt because I thought that's definitely my jam. It is so not my jam. I don't want an A-line skirt. It's just not for me. I've made 2 of them so far. They fit beautifully. Everyone else says they look great, and I'm sure they do. I'm not arguing that they don't look great. I just don't like wearing them. And that was new information for me. Like, it feels weird to be this old and still not know what kind of clothing I want to wear. So that's very tangential, but what it comes down to is I'm spending more per yard on higher quality fabric and making less with it in the hopes that what I make, I'll be wearing 10 years from now.
It's a good plan. So very sustainable.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. How about you? Where do you like to shop?
So I'm an in-person shopper. I do not really shop online for fabric. I want to, because I really love looking at Mood's website and being like, ooh, so pretty. But I am a baby, and I don't want to buy... I can barely bring myself to spend money on yardage, so I don't want to spend money on yardage
2 things
that
about
then
Mood.
Sucks.
Can I give you 2 things about
Mood?
Yeah,
give me.
Pick one fabric that you feel pretty secure about. So let's say you go off and you find in their Mood designer collections the ones that they themselves design... like the dress I'm wearing right now is one of their linen cottons. If you want to feel it, you'll get an idea for it. And you can tell looking at it how little
this.
It wrinkles.
Yeah.
It doesn't wrinkle. So any of their linen cotton combos in their designs would be like this. Find one thing you like, buy the yardage you need for it. Suddenly you're going to see a pop-up that says, hey, you get 5 free swatches with this order. Go find the things you want to learn about and swatch them.
Well, that's a good idea.
Go swatch them immediately. That's the next step for you. And then the following step is to note at the same time, you're going to get another pop-up that says, would you like 5 yards of nice muslin for $10? If you use muslin, buy it. If you don't, ignore it completely. But if muslin is something you use as
part
of your sewing
process. Is this
what
happens when you shop on mood.com?
Yes.
Wow. Every time?
Every time.
Okay.
Every time.
I've never ordered because I'm a
chicken.
And
you get points, which can be used for something.
I love points.
I'm just saying.
I'm always on team points.
So buy one fabric where you can predictably say you like it. And for a lot of the fabrics you might be interested in, if it's the Mood Designer Collection,
maybe
the
one this will that be my graduation designed, present to myself.
But if it's ones they designed, check in with me. I probably have a sample somewhere for you because I've made something out of it. Like, I've tried a lot of their fabrics. And then you get your, you order your 5 free swatches every time, no matter what, even if you can't think of what to swatch, just go find something and swatch it. Try something new and swatch it. And you're going to build a little shoebox library, staple them to cards and learn what swatches you like. You're going to love it. It's a good idea. That's all I'm saying.
I got it.
So tell me more about your shopping in person.
Oh, I just go around and touch stuff because I am neurospicy. And so it must be something I can tolerate touching me for an entire day where I'm not going to wear it.
Yeah. I remember having to take Dorothy shopping for cloths because when she sucks her thumb, she liked to have a cloth.
Yeah.
And we always had her test it in the store.
Yep.
You know, she'd put her thumb in her mouth and she'd hold it for a few minutes and it'd be a yes or a no, because if it wasn't right, it wasn't right. No matter how much she might like My Little Pony or whatever it was decorated with, it doesn't work if it's not right.
I feel this on a spiritual level.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? Where do you like
for me? I do love Mood. I've tried some of their fabrics that I don't like. Like, I don't like their cotton sateen, as an example. For me, it's not right. It always feels like it's kind of going to pull. Like, if your needle's not sharp enough, you're going to get a little jig in it that'll tear, you know, ruin the weave because now your astronaut has a little fan line through it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I like a lot of their other fabrics, and I was lucky enough to get to go in person to the store in New York, which I also really, really loved.
I have this as a bucket list item for me.
It's a really great thing to be able to do. I recommend it highly. So it was wonderful, but I ordered the swatches there. Mulberry Silks over in Raleigh, Durham area, Carrboro. I like to go over there and buy stuff from them. I like to touch all their stuff. Everything's amazing. They don't buy low quality fabric. High quality doesn't have to mean very expensive, but it does usually mean more than Joann's. So I might find a really nice cotton I like for $16 a yard or $17 a yard there, but I might also find a really nice cotton that I am never going to buy for $80 a yard. So it just sort of varies. I really enjoy that. In person is my favorite, but if I can get swatches and samples, I'm 100% going to do it now, because it's cheaper for me to order swatches than it is for me to order fabric and regret it.
Probably very true, yes.
Yeah. So that's generally the way I go. Is there anything else we want to say about fabric?
I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything.
That's really great. Well, then until next time, I'm Jenny.
And I'm Myra.
Good night.
Sleep well.
We know we won't. Insomniacs is created, performed, edited, and produced by Jenny Hassler and Myra Ashland. Please check us out on Instagram at Insomniacs, at J.O. Hassler, and at Atomic Baby Cosplay. You can find our community over on patreon.com/insomniacspodcast as well.
Good night.
Sleep well.
We know we won't.